Receive what God has in store for you for that. I'm very, very excited to speak about the next theme that we're going to be looking at for the next couple of weeks and possibly even months. But first of all, I'd just like to lay a foundation with where we are going for this. And I see, as we get closer and closer to the return of Jesus, it's becoming increasingly easier for people to be deceived and to be led astray by every wind of doctrine and all sorts of things that come up. So I trust that in this time, the Holy Spirit is going to teach us how to stand strong and to exhibit something which I believe is one of the key characteristics of being able to identify the true church of Jesus Christ. Het jy ooit gewonder hoekom, waar sien ek dit in besonder? Ach, daar is verskeie voorstede. Jy ry deur die voorstede en sien jy daai gemeente met daai naam. Op dieselfde blok, paar huise weg, is daar nog 'n gemeente met 'n ander naam. Drie blokke van daar af van 'n ander rigting is daar, raai wat, nog 'n gemeente met 'n ander naam. Het jy ooit gewonder hoekom daar soveel verskillende gemeentes is met verskillende name en verskillende fokusse en verskillende visies en so? Why is that? En dan wonder 'n mens, wel, waartoe gaan ek? Who's preaching the truth and who isn't? So this theme that I'd like to look at, which we're going to look at for several weeks, is something called fruitfulness. Everybody say fruitfulness. And we'll look at fruitfulness. And obviously we're going to be discussing the fruit of the Spirit in later weeks. The passage that we're going to concentrate on mainly today is John chapter 15, verse 1 to 17. But we're not going to go there yet. We're going to lay a foundation with an introductory text from Matthew chapter 7. Are you ready to experience the ride of your life and to be changed and to apply what you learned this morning? Are you ready for that? Root is. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Okay, if you got your Bibles, turn with me to the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 15 to 20. If people give you a chapter and verse, remember the verse part. That's the most difficult to remember for most folks. So remember that. You'll probably remember that I said Ephesians chapter 1, right? Okay. So remember the verse and then first remember the verses and then you remember the rest. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 20. Okay. Are we there? Are we ready? Hallelujah. I think almost all the texts that I'm going to read this morning comes out of the New King James translation. Jesus speaking the following words, and he said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." And Father, we thank you that we have the privilege of just freely reading your word this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, the comforter, the counselor, that you would take the logos, the written word, and you would speak it into our lives, make it rhema, bring it alive, and let it give to us exactly what we need for where we are. Lord, this morning there are hungry hearts, there are thirsty hearts, there are inquiring minds, Lord. There are people that want to change, that want to grow, that want to learn. And minister your life into our hearts. As you watch over your word to perform it, Lord, thank you it'll achieve the purposes for which you send it forth, to the praise and glory of your name. And God's people said, amen. So Jesus warns and says that there will be false prophets. He says that they will come looking like sheep, but inside there are ravenous wolves that will be deceptive. And twice in that passage of scripture, he says, how will you know them? You will identify them by their fruits. Some interesting teaching in that as well is that if the root of something is created to be something, no matter how it tries to disguise itself, it will always go back to what is in the roots. Can you say amen? Like that little piglet that they desperately wanted to be a sheep. They dressed it up like a sheep. They got it to look like a sheep and stuck wool on it like a sheep and everything like that. And they taught it how to make sheep noises. They taught it how to walk like a sheep. And it really looked very, very convincing. Till the first time that little piglet saw mud, guess what it did? Yeah! En soms in die lichaam van Christus kry ons skape met bokneigings. Jy kry skape met bokneigings. You will judge them by their fruit. That is why if you want to get into something or want to try something, I strongly encourage you in the name of Jesus, assess and study and find out what is the root of something. What was its intended purpose from the outset? The heart in a heart and the mind of the person in which it was conceived, what was that person's purpose and motive? You will know them by their fruits. And that's what I believe is key to determine how do you know that a particular doctrine that is being taught or a mindset or a vision of a church or what the minister is saying, what is the fruit of that ministry? What are the results of that ministry that you see? I start thinking, well, I used to say this even, I'm jumping ahead, yeah, the gun a little bit, but yeah, maybe the person's motives was pure and stuff like that. But you see, if my motives are fleshly, the fruit is always going to be a little bit dodgy. So yeah, I had every good intention. Yeah, but maybe my intentions is based on a heart that is like a little bit of an oinker's heart instead of a sheep's heart. Okay. And when it comes, this is something you need to remember. So open up your mind to receive this and let the Spirit imprint this on your memory indelibly. When it comes to discerning authentic Christianity from the false, fruit is everything. Did you get that? Fruit is everything. Fruit is everything. If there's no fruit, there's a root cause of that. If there's no fruit, there's a root cause. Greater and greater discernment will be needed as the return of Jesus draws near. Greater and greater discernment will be needed as the return of Jesus draws near. The scripture teaches about people being able to be deceived, if it's possible, even the elect. The enemy is going to be able to perform great deceiving signs and wonders. And we need to be able to discern what is right and what is wrong. Our motives, this challenged me so much when I was preparing for this. And if you fall into this category like me, don't feel condemned. Feel the conviction and the churning of the Spirit on your heart to make a change and say, Lord, maybe my motives weren't exactly pure. And I'm speaking out of my heart. I'm going to share with you something that happened in my life concerning this. Our motives must be from deeply spiritual hearts, not fleshly ones. Our motives must be from deeply spiritual hearts and not fleshly ones. And I'll give you an example. I have a challenge. When we post our charitable deeds on social media. Why is it so quiet in this church? I'll share with you personally what I did. I felt an obligation that when we do charitable deeds, get it recorded on social media so that when Jan Tux decides to do an assessment on this body to see whether we can retain our Section 18A status, that means that, for example, if you owe SARS 100,000, but you tithe, and you take that whole sum of what you tithe for the year and it comes to 20K, that 20K gets deducted off the 80K so that you only owe SARS on 80K instead of 100K. Does that make sense? You get tithed on less. We have that status. So I thought, well, in order to retain our status as a church, we need to have record and stuff like that so we can say, look, we are doing what our constitution says we can do. So what was my motive? Fear? Concern? Well, maybe not fear, but anxiety. I'm anxious that if we don't have some kind of a record, SARS will want to withdraw our Section 18A status. So we put our giving and stuff like that on social media. I have a challenge with that, and I'm going to tell you why. Is that okay, church? Can I tell you why? In Matthew 6 and verse 3, Jesus says, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Why must I post on social media what we do met ons kospakkies and whatever? I have a challenge with that. That's me personally. I don't know where you are at spiritually with that, but I have a challenge with that. Why must we publish to the world what we're doing, our charitable deeds? I don't see Jesus teaching that. It's very quiet now. Some people are shifting in their seat because they're a little bit uncomfortable. Ons het hier aan gehad en die ding gedoen, kyk wat ons weggegee het vir die armes en die behoeftiges en so. I have a challenge with that, people. Our motives need to be from deeply spiritual hearts and not fleshly ones. Can you say amen? And there is only one way that we will ever, ever be able to bear authentic fruit of the Spirit. There is only one way, and now we're going to get into the start of the teaching for this theme. Is that okay? So that was just an introduction. Jesus warns, and he basically says, and Mozzie's paraphrases, fruit is everything. Fruit is everything. And Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits. So where are you sitting this morning? What kind of fruit are you bearing in your life? Maybe you want to dress up like a peach tree. And maybe you try and look all peachy on the outside. I mean, there's such a variety of delicious, juicy, flavorful, colorful peaches. I love fruit and vegetables because before you even eat it, it looks good and it smells good. I don't have to marinate it for 6 hours to be able to swallow it. It's net lekker so, net so lyk dit goed. That's just me. That's fine. Elke, different strokes for different folks. So maybe you're trying to look all peachy, but die wortel is, you're a thorn tree. And all these thorns want to keep coming out, to krap and to steek and to maak seer, but you keep trying to look all peachy and sound all peachy. There's a root issue that something needs to change. And there is only one way to bear authentic spiritual fruit. And Jesus is going to start teaching us. Can you say amen? John chapter 15, come with me from verse 1. We're going to break down these 17 verses for weeks and weeks and weeks until we get this in our spirit. I've been looking back at the themes that God has been laying on our hearts for the last 2 years. And it's interesting to see the simplicity of what God is telling us. You see, I'm excited about this, man. John chapter 15 and verse 1. And Jesus starts off and he says the following. I am the true vine. And I want to stop there. I am the true vine. Why did Jesus have to qualify the difference between true and false? Because die waarheid is, there are false vines. There are false vines. He saw it fit to teach the people. I am the true vine. Up until now, you've heard Pharisees, Sadducees, couldn't-sees, and wouldn't-sees telling you all of these things that they think you need to do to get into heaven and to earn the favor of God. I'm coming here and to tell you, I'm going to turn this whole religious world that you've become accustomed to, I've come to turn it upside down. I am the true vine. Why? Because there are false vines. I want to say this. There will be things that also grow and bear fruit that look real. They grow and they bear fruit. People say, oh, well, God must be in it because check how many people are following it. Really? Really? Well, God must be in it because check hoeveel mense daag op. Really? Have you checked thorn trees and bramble bushes, how they grow? Have you seen how weeds grow? I am a weed specialist. You must check my garden. Al wat ek hoef te doen, ek doe net Egyptian PT. Ek kyk net en dan sien jy hoe groei die onkruid in my yard. Because I'm not a gardener. God kicked Adam out of the garden, I'm not going back. So, just because it's growing doesn't mean it is a true vine. Just because it's growing. Matthew 7 verse 13 to 14, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are how many who find it? Many who go in by it. There are many who go in by it. So just because there's lots and lots of people doing it, doesn't mean it is legit. Can you say amen? Doesn't mean because there's a big following. Makes it legit. Well, there's huge growth, so God must be in it. No. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Now, many who find it. And then it says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. Lord God, by your grace, may we be part of that few who find it.
Now, I don't know what you're understanding. Some people say, yeah, Jesus is coming back to a victorious church. No, all I'm saying is this is what Jesus said. You make of that which you want. He says there are few who find it. Narrow is that way. May God, may we be the few who find that. Can you say amen? So he says, I am the true vine, because there are false vines. The second part of that verse 1 is, and my Father is the vine dresser. Who's the vine dresser? Who's the vine dresser? Who's the vine dresser? Why do I emphasize that? I want to tell you this. Yes, God has called his fivefold ministers to minister and equip the body for the work of the ministry. Apostles, pastors, prophets, teachers, and evangelists. But I am not the solution to your challenges. Some of you are bitterly disappointed. I am not the solution to your challenges. Ek het nie wat jy nodig het nie. I can't fix you. And some people that are trying to live like this, you know what? Fixing them is killing you. You are not the solution. One of the things that the professional mourners were required to do in those days, hulle word gebetaal om daarso om te kom heel. They didn't come with the counseling focus of the week. Kom ons spreek bietjie lewe in hierdie situasie, quoteer 'n paar teksverse, dan gaan al hierdie mense se bedroef of opgelos word. Hulle pyn en hartseer. They just had to sit and listen and say nothing. I'm just here to listen and to cry with you. I'm not trying to fix you, not trying to counsel you. Yes, does God use people to minister to people? Of course he does. But listen to this, church. My responsibility is to lead you to the solution. And his name is Jesus. I said his name is Jesus. When I was studying for my theological degree, one whole year was set aside for the traditional form of counseling, which is like this. And I want to tell you, me klaargemaak oor. Ek was op. One whole year, the traditional form of counseling is, you've got an issue, come to me, I wait on God for the solution, I digest it, make it chewable, and I spew it out so that it's acceptable for you. You come to me and I give you the answer, dan gaan jy huis toe. Week na week na week was jy daar en jy word nooit vrygemaak nie. One year of that stuff. Till we learned Christ-centered prayer ministry, where the facilitator's role is to get you to Jesus, where we can help you get to the place where the Spirit of God starts ministering to you as we stand in the gap for you, as you seek Jesus Christ's answer for your situation. I got to the point where I was tired and worn out and ran out of answers, trying to address a spiritual issue in the flesh, having to think I've got to come up with answers to people's solutions, and I dreaded counseling sessions. Till I learned this and I changed everything. I looked forward to counseling sessions because you sit there and you help a person turn their focus and attention to what the Spirit of God is saying to them, and you physically see the change take place in their body in front of you as Jesus sets them free. Hallelujah. You are not the person's solution. You are not the answer. Your responsibility is to point them to the answer, and his name is Jesus. That's why he says, yeah, my Father is the vine dresser. In case you're wondering who's the branches, who's the vine, we're the vine, he's the vine, we're the branches, and the Father dresses it and grooms it and keeps it. Viticulture, that's the study, it's the culturing and the growth of vines. It's a fascinating topic. Study it and see, you'll understand why Jesus uses this illustration. My Father is the vine dresser. God has appointed his fivefold ministers, yes. But I'm not the solution to your problems. You've got to find your way to Jesus. He's the one that has the answers for you. Can you say amen? All right. Verse number 2. Jesus says this. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch in me. So Jesus describes a branch that is where? Where's that branch? That's in him, right? So, die tak is dan gekoppeld, it's connected, it's grafted in, right? It's, that branch is where it's supposed to be. Can we agree on that? Can we agree on that? Some of you are not sure, but Jesus says, every branch that is where? Every branch that is in me, that does not bear fruit. So, here's the kicker. It is possible to be properly part of the body of Christ Christ and not be bearing fruit. Wow. It's possible to be part of the body of Christ and not be bearing fruit. Let me give you some examples just to help you think a little bit and assess a little bit this morning where you are. Are you glad to come to church this morning? Hallelujah. For example, when was the last time you led somebody to the Lord? Don't raise your hand. When was the last time you led somebody to the Lord? What was, I know I'm going to put you on the spot this morning because we're family. Ons kan reg het praat met mekaar, né? Is that okay? What was one of our themes from last year? One of them that you remember? I heard, yeah, making disciples. Okay, so that's the great commandment, the great commission. When was the last time you led somebody to the Lord? Okay, let me just take that a little bit deeper. Since you've been a Christian, have you ever led somebody to the Lord? Suddenly it's hotter. When was the last time you led somebody to the Lord? When was the last time you invited somebody to church? Or to your care group? Of as jy miskien is jy nog steeds bietjie skaam vir daai naam Bikers Church. Nee. Net nou dink hulle ek is deel van 'n cult of 'n klag of whatever. Klomp weird mense met bikes or whatever. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? When is the last time you invited somebody to your care group? Or who are you actively discipling now? Actively discipling now. Somebody, deur wyse van jou leefstyl, jy is besig om hulle te disipel in die weë van Jesus. Who are you currently discipling now? Okay? Then, I like this one. Look, like, yes, Lord. This is like in our faces, Jesus. Like, are you actively involved in some other aspect of church life other than Sunday celebration? I'm crying so lekker, yeah. Are you actively involved in some other aspect of church life? We heard an appeal this morning for volunteers. Other than Sunday celebration. Met ander woorde, jy daag nie net op Sondag en dan move jy weer. So, I think it's easier to see now that it's possible to be part of the body of Christ and be fruitless. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. I want to look at that takeaway a little bit. I encourage you, do a study of that word takeaway. When we read it in English, and ek weet nie hoe dit staan in die Afrikaanse vertaling nie, but it sounds like, hoorie, hierdie ding is nou, I'm going to do, no, I don't want to gooi that. Let me just, something that if I throw it, there's no consequences. This thing is not doing what it's supposed to do, so I'm just going to bin it. That's not what it's saying. When we read it, it seems like it. Everyone that does not bear fruit is going to be taken away. That word study there means this. It means the vine dresser. Sure. And I get emotional thinking about this. Because this is how God is. This is the Father that He is. Every branch that does not bear fruit, the vine dresser comes to that branch. He makes sure that everything is out of the way on top of that branch. And He lifts it up. Make sure that it's in a place where it can get sunlight so that it too can start growing and bearing fruit. It's not cutting away and going weg. It's coming and uplifting and edifying and getting to a place where that branch can be exposed to light so it can grow. Isn't that beautiful? Do you get the picture, church? Come on, somebody get excited with me. Fake it until you make it. Pretend you're happy. There was a song like that, pretend you're happy when you're blue. So, you've got to bear fruit. The Father's the vine dresser. And if you're in the body and you fell into any one of those categories, haven't led somebody to the Lord, never led somebody to the Lord, not discipling anybody, only come to church on Sundays and not any aspect of church life, raak asseblief betrokke, man. Come on, man. The world needs you. The world needs you. There's beautiful salvation waiting on the other side of your obedience. There is beautiful salvation waiting on the other side of your obedience. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The second part of verse 2. We're still on just verse 2 and we've got verse 17 to go to. Hallelujah. Not today. Weeks. Here we go. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Ay, mense. What is prune in Afrikaans? Die werkwoord. Snoei, daar sê. Die bome word dan gesnoei. I love watching people who love doing gardening. I love it. I like watching it. It's, I can watch it. I don't like doing it, but I, because they take, honey. It's beautiful to see the care. They, man, hulle behandel die plant. Like I treat my motorbikes. Or my guns. It's like, they love the plants and they enjoy touching it, they enjoy feeling it, and they trim it and they knip it, and they got all special tools and special gloves and special sprays and special goed that they put in the ground. And it's like that God prunes the vine. He looks at you and says, okay, Eben, come here, my brother, come here. So Eben is going to stand, he's going to face the church, and Eben, stand here, son, and let the boonse gedeelte van your life net bietjie skyn so I can to lay. So there. So God sees Eben is a little bit skeef and he's benadering. And what does he do? Okay, that came out wrong. Just for the record, Eben is not skeef. I know him. Ach, jy moet so staan, so man. It's not like God comes and radar, gaat jy move. No, kom staan hier so skewe tak. Hy staan hier so. And God comes alongside. He sends who? The helper. And in Genesis, okay, look up. You can see the light. Come, let's just do this together. Get here. Skouers terug. Ken hom. Ah, sê. Okay, it's nie watermelon season nie. We're relaxed. Thank you. Let's give him a round of applause. That's what he does. He carefully prunes. Carefully prunes. Why? God's got a bigger purpose than the temporary discomfort that I am in. I see people that do bonsai. Bonsai means small. They wrap special little wires around the branches because the branch wants to go this way. But the bonsai enthusiast wants it to. He's got a picture in his mind of how, and a vision of how this thing must look. And he wraps wire around it so that it conforms to his image. You, folks, I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying preaching this. He prunes it so that it can bear more fruit. Here's the deal. We, okay, I'm going to say this a bit softer. We are on a mission to take over the world. How many of you want to join me? We're on a mission to take over the world. God wants us taking over the world like a creeping vine. I'm a sports shooter. Yesterday we shot at our clubhouse. There's the storeroom and stuff like that. There's this man, it's called a creeper. Have you checked how those creepers grow? Man, they just like, and they got these like goeterkies that like clear from its trust. Even after you stripped it clean, you can still see there was a creeper vine over there. This creeper vine at our shooting clubhouse got big. A couple of shoots ago, the hele ding was van die muur af. It was completely off. It's as if somebody came and took like a massive big tool. And ek praat van 'n paar meter lank, man. Maklik van hier af tot iewers te daar. The whole thing is off the wall like this. Like that. And you can see the wall. We haven't seen it in years. Guess what? Yesterday when we shot, guess what was back up on the wall? The creeping vine. It had taken over again. God wants that for us. That image came to mind. He wants that for us to be like a creeper that overtakes the world. He wants us to bear more fruit. Can you say amen? Close off with the next verse. Verse 3, Jesus says, and this encourages me. Are you learning something this morning, church? I hope you're getting something out of this. He says in verse 3, you are already clean. Because of the word that I've spoken to you. You are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. And I want to paraphrase by saying, it's like God is saying this. What the devil has been saying about you is not true. The common central theme or cause In people's lives when they come for counseling issues is one common factor, a low self-image. They might not know it, they might not call it that, they might not think that it's that, but at the root, that's its issue. Low self-image, because the devil tells you, you're never good enough. You start walking a walk of faith and he tells you, you start praying, he says, you're not praying enough. You start reading the Bible, he says, you're not reading enough. You start testifying, he tells you, you're not testifying enough. You start giving, he tells you, you're not giving enough. You start, can you see the point? And God saying, Jesus saying, you're already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. It's like him saying, that lie which the devil has been telling you, that's not true. That's not true. There's something better that I have spoken over you. Can you say amen? This challenged me the first time I heard this following statement. Because, you know, how many of you know we people and we disappoint each other? I've got news for you. You think you haven't disappointed somebody? Stick around, Brown. We people and we disappoint each other. And I experienced bitterness, a disappointment. Ach, my ou sagte pastoor Hartjie was seergemaak because I was disappointed in people. I had a certain expectation of people and they didn't live up to my expectation. So I got disappointed in them and I was hurt. Oh, really? Get a grip, man. Get a grip. Get a grip. We disappoint each other. And this challenging thought or this phrase was taught to me. Don't relate to each other according to past disappointments, but according to the prophetic word that's been spoken over that person. Think about that. Am I treating Div according to the prophetic word that God has spoken over him? Or am I relating to him because of the past disappointments, the times he's disappointed me for whatever? Wow. Hoe anderste gaan ons dan mekaar sien in die liggaam van Christus? How differently when we start dealing with each other, when we start dealing with each other as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Not people who are perfect, but people for whom the grace of Jesus Christ is enough when they make a mistake. And they just like me. What was one of my favorite sayings from last year? I haven't arrived yet, but there's 5 people that listen. I haven't arrived yet, but I'm on my way. Hallelujah. I haven't arrived, but I'm on my way. So let's just be on our way together. Can you say amen? So God, you are already clean. You are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. John 8:36, it says, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You're free to be an effective minister of the gospel. Correcting my grammatical errors as I go along. You are free to be an effective minister of the gospel. Last scripture verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. You also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter of the Spirit. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. I want to read it again. I messed that up. Who also has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. It's simply the New King James way of saying, not of the letter, not of, I'm coming to tell you, jy moet nie, jy mag nie, jy kan nie, jy sal nie. I started ministering, meditating on this week. Can you imagine if, how will people treat you, or what will they think of you if all you ever talk about when they see you is die kondisie van hulle hart en is hulle saak reg met God en hoe is hulle wandel met God en weet hulle regtig waar of hulle hemel toe gaan of nie? All you ever talk about is that every time they see you, that's what you're going to be talking about. Now folks, please listen to me. We're part of an evangelical outreach ministry. I'm not knocking that motive, but if that's all you do, do you think it's going to be pleasant for people to hang around you? Talk about something that's important to them. Talk about their family. Talk about their children. Talk about some success that they've attained, something that they've done well. If all you ever do is always, just every time you open your mouth, all you ever do with that person is just all the time, how's your walk with God, you're all the time. If the Holy Spirit is telling you to do that, or if you think he's, I don't know, because I think you might be at the point where you're throwing pearls before the swine, but I got to think about that, and I thought, to be an effective minister of the gospel, God is equipped you to do that. He enable you to do that. All he's looking for is willing hearts. And as I bring this to a close this morning, just want to recap what we started off. Jesus warned us, saying that there's going to be false sheep. There are ravenous wolves that look like it, and that fruit is everything. You will know them by their fruit. And there's only one way to bear true, authentic fruit, and that is making sure that we graft it into the vine that is Jesus. As branches, that we graft it into the vine that is Jesus. If you're sitting here this morning and the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you, you're thinking, Mozzie, you know, I'm really, really challenged by this being part of the body and not bearing fruit. I realize that I can be more inactive and more involved somewhere. I'm not telling you to become a member of Bikers Church. I want to say this for people that have done the membership orientation. We don't want you to be a member of Bikers Church. Oh, what are you saying now, Mozzie? I don't want you to be a member of this church. Exekunini. Unless God wants you here. Can I say amen? Unless God wants you here. Why must I take a round peg and try and force you into a square hole? Go find the round hole that God has for you somewhere there. So maybe this is your spiritual. Maybe you're not sure. Well, if you're not sure, keep coming until you are sure. And if this is where God has called you, hallelujah. He sent us somebody that is like-minded. But if not, please go find the place where God wants you to get slotted in. Does it sound like I'm trying to quick and even leader? No, I want the people that God has sent us who are like-minded. They'll be co-workers in His kingdom. Can you say amen? And if you're sitting here this morning, the Spirit of God has challenged you and convicted you on that, and you said, just Mozzie, I realize God for a while has been telling me to get involved somehow, somewhere along the line, and you're not, well, you come to the right place this morning. I want to pray for you, and I just pray that God gives you wisdom this morning as you seek your heart and find out where to get involved in and where you can be effective. And the best place to start is at home. And then just come and volunteer your time, volunteer your services. Just say, here I am. I'm not good at much, but I am here. Use me, even if it's just to carry stuff or whatever. Lord, as men and women, just seek your face and search their hearts before you. Lord, just show us how we can just be part of your body, but still bear fruit, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for that, Lord. Maybe you seated here this morning, you realize, yes, Mozzie, I'm not even part of that vine. I'm so far from the things of God. I've been living my life in such a way that it's far from Jesus. And I just need to get back to the Lord and need intimacy with Jesus again. I've drifted away. And if that is you, if you feel that you're far from God, just raise your hand. Anybody like that this morning? Anybody? Okay, there's a couple of hands going up. Thank you. You can put your hands down again. I'm going to pray for you specifically. So Lord, I just pray for those precious, precious people. Sons and daughters of God, Lord God, who feel perhaps have drifted away from you and it seems you seem far away. Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, Lord, as we exalt you, Jesus, that you draw people to you, not to a person or a personality or an organization or a patch, but that we draw people to you, Lord Jesus. It is the goodness of God that draws people to repentance. Show them your goodness in a real way, Lord, that they might find their way back to you and experience intimacy and close fellowship with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, that this word, Lord God, your word from your heart this morning would find its place in our lives and in our hearts, in fertile soil, that it bears fruit and much fruit to the praise and glory of your name. In Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you. May God lift up His countenance over you and be gracious to you. May God give you His peace, which surpasses all understanding. Would you stand with us?